Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And we got a lot to do. If you're watching on YouTube today or X or whatever you watch on, you won't see Lance today. He's at home doing the show from home, which is just fine. We don't want him infecting us with whatever thing he's got going on, pink eye or whatever he's got going on, or some kind of disease which he could transmit to the rest of the station. So we're fine with that. And we are one big happy family here as we head to the holidays. We start tomorrow at Republic Boot Company. We want y'all there. And then Nick's Place on Monday. And it's the holiday season, people. It's the holiday season. And we're gonna party it up here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But Lance is back at home. How are you feeling today?
Not great, but a little better than last night. We're wife and I were going to take a trip today, but that's kind of in a holding pattern right now. So we'll see what happens.
Oh yeah, that sucks.
I got my eye. I've got like a virus, I think, and so my left eye. Every once in a while, like over the years, I'll have like a swelling in the tear duct, and I've got one today. It makes me. I call it my cyborg. It makes me look like a cyborg.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And so there's no way I'd be on video today.
Well, we got to put it on the video on your laptop. You can
do that. Nope.
We could. Dell seems to think it has to do with you washing your hands or something.
No, that's not it.
After going potty.
No, that's not it. Although I would like to wear I have decided just for fun, I'm going to start doing some different stuff on camera. I'll wear, just different types of clothes, and I wear sunglasses and beanies and eye patches and just stuff to have a little fun on camera, just to throw people off. I may wear one of those shiesty ski masks that you wear whenever you're going to commit a robbery.
Yeah.
Things like that on, but yeah, today, no chance that I'd have any kind of video clips with my eyes, with my tear ducts swollen and me looking like a cyborg.
Well, maybe Dell, you could put up the picture of Lance that remember when he was laying in bed and he.
Yeah, that's sick. Way better than this.
Really? One's better than this one.
Well, yeah, I just felt miserable because I ate painkillers on an empty stomach. This is a full on cyborg.
Oh, okay. I like that. But the people want to see it. The people, don't care. Be so
the people
vain.
Can suck my A because they're not going to see it.
Wow.
Yeah. So the people don't get anything.
Wow, that was.
I'm saying this now because, he's not listening. I wanted her to hear it, but I ran into Lenny Ambrose. Our friends over at restaurant Elro is going to close at the end of the month. Just neighborhood restaurant, good food, great people, great drink specials. And unfortunately, that's just the business of restaurants, and the place is packed. Everyone's rushing in now. I wanted to say, where are you losers beforehand? But the place, well, although it's mostly not losers, it's people who go there all the time. So the place is packed. It's hard to even, it's hard to get in. But we went in last night. The wife and I wanted to, go before they close and support Terrence. And I saw Lenny Ambrose, who, runs St. Arnold, St. Arnold Brewery. And Lenny's been a long-time listener.
Yeah.
Long-time. Great guy.
Really
phenomenal guy. Family. Yep. I love Lenny and St. Arnold. And I think the world of all of them. And he was in there with his family. And he told me, I came over and went and talked to him before I went over and we had a drink with LaShane and had some food. And then, and he said, hey, and I can't remember his daughter's name. She's 15. He said, this is Lance. And I knew that meant something. She goes, oh, that's Lance. She goes, he said, yeah. We listen on the way to school. She wants to hear you guys. So I turn it there. He said, I don't know if she's listening for the sports so much as you guys interplay with Dell and the relationship the show has. Mm-hmm. It's just the, you know, general tomfoolery. So I said, well, you know, whatever it takes, that's fine.
That's it.
And then his other daughter listens too. So, you know, this is a family affair. This is really a family show, and it was proven yesterday. So if you've got kids and you've got a family, listen to the show on the way to school. Listen with your daughters, your sons, from anywhere from age 2 to age 20. We help people learn things.
Listen with your heart is what I think.
People, yeah, you're going as a family. We draw you closer together as a family. That's pretty much. Why we're in the
We have. Mom's got a face going on over there.
Mommy, why did that bad man say suck my A?
Well, but this is the thing. Most of these families are not in the car yet. They're mostly not in the car yet.
No, they're in the car now.
What are you talking about?
I've got kids at home right now.
Your kids.
Yeah. My kids are. You don't go to school at 7:15.
When do you go to school? I was on the bus by 7:15.
Yeah. You go to school. Oh, well, that's true. But my kids don't. They go to school in Houston, and they'll leave here at I don't know what time, like 7:45, I think.
Well, they listen to the podcast. They'll still have that question to answer.
Well, kids don't listen to us on podcasts only when they have to with their moms or dads.
Oh man,
snacks.
They're not like, oh, I've got to download my John Lance Dell podcast. I mean, if you're doing that as a kid.
You love sports.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
What's the name of the restaurant that is closing again?
Elro?
E-L-R-O.
Yeah, it's not part of a major restaurant conglomerate
heard of it. I don't that's a shame. I like people to succeed. This is something that I don't know is successful. Snacks farted on Lance's pillow, hence the pink eye.
No, that's from a movie. That didn't happen.
Snacks did not fart.
Well, we don't know that. You don't know that. But we don't believe that it caused whatever he's dealing with.
Well, I mean,
I don't have pink eye.
His kids may just like farting on his pillow. I don't know if he's got pink eye from it, though.
Yeah. I mean, there's been stories about.
Like, when you lay your head down at night, does your pillowcase smell of cheese quesadilla?
No, that's Alec. That's one specific kid, and he eats chicken in and out.
Alex has expanded the chicken in his cheese quesadilla now.
Yeah, you'd actually be surprised, John. He drinks protein drinks. He lifts every day.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, Alec has put on about 25 pounds in college.
Nice.
Yeah.
He's around football players. He's like, I got to put some work in.
He's got the Jesus body now with abs and back muscles, and he's cut up with, he's lean. He's lean and long. Like, I call him Jesus body.
Them Tuscaloosa girls?
Yeah.
Them Tuscaloosa girls got him in the gym?
Well, that and his friends. You know, you kind of, if your friends lift, you have to lift.
Yeah, you got to. No question.
And he works in a football department. Like, you gotta fill out the,
when you're running
Alabama, the wind shirt's a little better.
Yeah, when you're, I'm part of the football program, and the girl's looking at you.
Yeah, we're sure you are.
What part?
That's why you're the mascot.
Yeah. What do you mean you're part of the program?
You can't wear a sweater, a little wind sweater that says Juice Squad with an elephant and two hammers and be, 135 pounds.
No.
Like, that can't happen.
Well, and he's tall, so he's got to put on some. He got to put on some pounds.
Yeah, he's 6'2", Mason's 6'3".
Yeah, so he doesn't look like Joe Burrow's girlfriend anymore.
You're way too hard on her. You know, there are petite girls too, John. You know that.
Yeah.
Not everyone's running around trying to throw as much ass at everyone as possible.
Wow. Did the bad man say throwing ass at people again, mommy?
I mean, not everyone has to have BBLs.
Okay.
Go to have BBL surgeries and walk around where they can barely get in doors. It's okay for somebody to have a petite body type.
Okay.
And for somebody else to love that person.
Because
Joe loves
Alex's body and her body. You know.
We are comparing a legit model to Lance's kid, and saying they have the same body.
Yeah,
you think Joe
body fat?
Body fat. Oh, okay.
Yeah, body fat. That's what.
Well, your boy likes him thin. That's all.
I think what we said yesterday worked. Maybe worked with Nolan Arenado.
You could.
What did we say?
We said don't come here. Okay. I hope you hate Houston. I hope you nix the trade. I hope you don't want to come here. And sure enough, he did not want to come here. You know what? We spoiled Bagwellitics. We destroyed it right here on the show. Okay. And exactly what we said, well, what I said anyway yesterday. I mean, did you say what I said? I hate Houston. Remember that, Del? That's when I said that.
And, I didn't. And
that's right.
Yeah.
And that was in reference to Nolan. I was being Nolan Arenado. He hates Houston, and I'm glad. I'm here for it. Good. One guy I don't want to like Houston is Nolan Arenado, because I don't want him to bring his 719 OPS here. Thank you, Nolan Arenado. I know you have 10 gold gloves. That's fine. You know, that's great. But we got Shea Whitcomb. He might win.
I wouldn't suspect it would happen this upcoming season.
And then there was a story after this is that will the Astros now reopen talks? Will there be now more talks between Bregman and the Astros? Listen, Nolan Arenado was going to cost $60 million for 3 years. $60 million to the Astros. That's what they were going to have to pay. Because the Cardinals were picking up some, and the Rockies are already picking up some. So they were going to have to pay $60 million over 3 years. Alex Bregman is going to be $200 million. So, no, that is not going to open up talks.
I don't know, man. I see the Twitter Astro engagers talking about how they're deep in it. They're still in it. Don't close the door on Bregman coming back.
I'm not closing the door on it. I just don't see the correlation between the two. Just because the Nolan Arenado didn't happen.
The Astros didn't turn down Arenado. Arenado turned them down.
Yeah. So. And if you think Bregman's sitting there going, oh, yeah, they really want me. They're trying to go get Nolan Arenado, who doesn't even want to be there. And I've been there for 7 years, busting my hump.
So okay. I'll ask you two. Would the Astros and their still interest in Bregman, as I put that in quotes, all about waiting him out to see if he doesn't get the deal he's looking for, and they just hope he comes back to them? Because will they be aggressively pursuing him or just waiting to see?
It doesn't look like they're aggressively.
So when people say they're still in it, is that just simply because he's still free?
Yeah, because he's
and they're just going to wait?
Everybody's still in it.
Not everybody's still in it.
Yeah, they're just waiting to see if the number.
They got an offer at least. I mean, they're still in it from the standpoint of they're his fallbacks. They're his fallback school.
Yeah.
You know, they're his fallback organization.
Safety?
But they're his safety organization. But I really do feel like we've seen enough to believe that Alex Bregman would not mind a change of scenery. And if you go back to Houston, you know Tuck's not there. You already know Alex Bregman has watched. He already knows, look, the MO for this team is anybody good is gone if they get to free agency. If I'm Alex Bregman, I know that there's a decent chance the Astros, as I knew it, you know, are already leaving. They're already gone. Altuve will be gone at some point in the future. He may not want to stay for the second phase of this. You know, he was here for the great stuff. He may not want to be here for the not as great stuff.
Yeah. Well, there is that. My sources tell me he does want to be back here, but he doesn't. You know, the Astros are playing that exact game that Del just said. We offered $156 million. Now we'll wait and see. If that does it, that does it. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Oh well. You know what? That's what we're going to offer. Maybe they up it. I don't know, but we certainly haven't seen any indications of it, and we have never seen them pay more than $151 million. $151 million is the top they've ever gone. So $156 million would top that. Whoop! We did it. We topped it. Yay, us. And actually, they offered more to Carlos, but that's all we're doing. And I don't think they changed their philosophy. They're just not. And it's been pretty successful. So, you know, now, but that's been successful because Jeff Luhnow created a tremendous machine that had, was an unbelievable evaluator of talent. And also, guys like, what's his name? The guy that signed all the Hispanic pitchers. What's his name?
Yeah, Mo.
Whatever his name was. He's gone
Mo
now.
Cheeks.
Not Mo Cheeks. That Mo was Sizlak? The guard for the 76ers.
Not Mo Sizlak.
No.
That guy's a great. That guy is a pat. Is a blitz. He is a blitzing linebacker. Mo Sizlak.
Yeah. No, not him either. No. Anyway. They've lost a lot of talent. They've lost Sid, and they've lost a lot of people out of their front office that had great eyes for talent. And you know what? And that made this organization great all the way down. I mean, that the Astros had one of the worst minor league systems, yet guy after guy after guy, when guys left, guy after guy after guy came up here and continued to contribute to a winner every year. So those days might be gone, though. We'll see.
Ocampo,
that's his name. He was.
Luckily, we were able to get rid of him along with everybody else that helped build this organization.
Well, I don't know, get rid of. Maybe they just left. Maybe they wanted out. Maybe it wasn't the greatest.
The Astros were still in it with Oz, too. They're in it with him. They're still in it.
No, Oz is gone.
No, okay.
Oz is gone. So is Sid. He left.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Reports. Still in it.
Yeah. Well, still in it is, yeah, well, it's relative. Everybody's still in it for Oz.
I mean, hey, we're still in it with
back if they go, hey, Oz, you want a boatload of money here?
If somebody told you right now that you could get rid of Dana Brown and bring back Jeff Leno, but you had to tell Dana Brown he was leaving, like you had to go in and do
yes,
it.
Yes, I do it. There's nothing wrong with Dana Brown.
You had to do. Hold on. You had to gather him and his entire family and first tell his kids. I don't know if he has kids, but first tell his kids that you were getting rid of their dad. Yeah. Would you do it?
Well, but guess what, honey. We're going to leave you with a lot of money. Okay.
Well, I don't know that. How much longer is this contract?
I don't know.
I don't even know what they pay him.
We're
going
to rush all that money right to today.
In what situation are the kids brought in when they're dead?
Yeah. When does that happen?
Well, I'm making a situation to check John's resilience check his.
What 80s Sylvester Stallone military movie are you referencing where the kids are involved in some situation where...
I just wanted to gauge his...
Sorry, your dad's got to go.
Some action movie from the 80s where the kids are really involved in their dad's problems.
And look, I feel bad for Dana because I'm not sure... Look, it's way easier to build than sustain through departure and age. It's way... Ask Daryl Morey. Daryl Morey was able to build up a Rocket team. He got a hold of James Harden. He grabbed some pieces here and there. All of a sudden, they were a Western Conference finalists all the time. You know the hard part? The hard part is how do you click the tumbler so you open up a championship vault? It's really hard. And then as guys get older, it's extraordinarily hard to be that GM. No. And Dana Brown right now is faced with that. And that is not an easy
task. The expectations. What Jeff Luno got to lose, and Dana Brown doesn't. Yeah. That's for sure.
All right,
we got to break it. We're way behind. Maestro DeBell is what we're talking about now. Anybody wants to get in? Someone, 3780-3776.
The king of all tequilas, Maestro DeBell. That's what I just invented. And you can put it on a T-shirt if you want. But I trademarked it, and you owe me money for a licensing agreement. But Maestro DeBell is a tequila that is made in Tequila, Mexico. It's made with the very best ingredients. They don't take shortcuts with their distilling process or their aging. And the result is a very smooth tequila. It's a tequila that never burns, no impurities. It's made the right way by people who know how to make tequila. Reposado, Añejo, the silver, the smoke silver called Humito. By the way, I never talk about the Humito, but that's a smoke silver that's awesome. If you like a little smokiness in your cocktails, this is a great, instead of mezcal, why don't you have a smoke silver? It's a really nice tequila for the smoky cocktails that you like. And they also have the Cristalino called the Diamante. The Cristalino is a category that Maestro DeBell created. Other people copy it. No one has duplicated it. They're the best at the Cristalino, and that's the Diamante, and a lot of people use this for their sipping tequila. Wherever fine liquors are sold, you're going to find Maestro DeBell. If you don't see it or if there's a type of tequila you want, ask your liquor provider for them to order that and get that on the shelf for you. It's Maestro DeBell.
Kane is in the building there.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I'm looking at a question and answer with Jonathan Alexander on the Chronicle. And now that they've won the AFC South, you know, pretty much you're going to be locked. You're pretty much locked in here to the fourth seed, although you can get to the third seed. And Jonathan said, well, the two seed is also possible. You find out this weekend where you are. you find out whether or not the last two games you're going to do anything. But you do. You still have something to play for.
Well, mathematically, the 2 seed is possible, but they just flashed up the Bills' schedule. It's Patriots, Jets, and I think Patriots again.
Patriots, Jets, Patriots? Well, the Patriots have... Well,
it's, what's that? Yeah,
well,
what are you saying?
Well, you beat the Chiefs, and then they lose their next two games, okay? And then you both end up... Well, they still end up with fewer losses, so there's that. Yeah, it's not really possible, but you could possibly get the 3 seed. That would be nice. Although I'm not sure that it matters much. You get the Bills. In the second round, you get the Bills in Buffalo. Not sure that'd be great. Not sure that's what you're looking for. Would you rather play the Chiefs or the Bills right now in the postseason?
Chiefs.
So
not even close.
So the 4 seed is more is more desirable.
Well, so the Chiefs, I saw this graphic yesterday. I think KJ sent it to us. There are 5 teams in the NFL who haven't scored 30 points this year. And I think it's like the Panthers, the Jets, it's teams that have only won 2 or 3 games, and then the Chiefs. The Chiefs are one of 5 teams in the NFL who haven't hit 30 points yet. The rest of them are all fighting, like the Giants, they're all fighting for the top 5 spots in the draft. And then you have the team with the most wins in football. Yeah. This should speak to, A, how good their defense is, and B, how freaking lucky this team has been. I mean, they've been lucky, too. Now, you know, if you haven't lost, the offense is ineffective like we've never seen from the Chiefs. It's just very disconcerting to live in a world where the Chiefs aren't. Now, I don't dislike it, but it's just disconcerting to see a Chiefs offense that is this ineffective. Like, to see Travis Kelce age this quickly right before our eyes, it's just always a weird thing in sports. But with that said, they're not losing. Why? Because their defense is good. Because they've got good players. They've drafted well up front. Karloftis and Chris Jones, and they've got Nick Bolton, and they've got good defensive backs, and their defense coordinator is really good. Look, it's going to be hard for the Texans to score touchdowns against the Chiefs. It's going to be very hard. Everyone takes away the explosive play, and CJ and this offense and Bobby Slowick and the offensive line have shown very little ability to have a 75-yard drive. They can drive at 50 and then kick. They get a lot of field goal attempts from 45 and beyond, but there's just too many penalties and sacks for them to extend drives. So, you know, if you want to beat the Chiefs, you're going to have to take their relatively ineffective offense and stuff them in a locker. I mean, you're going to have to bully them and stuff Patrick Mahomes in a locker with their pass rush.
Well, the good news is playing this game is you don't have to score a lot of points to win.
No, you don't. And it actually lines up with Houston.
It lines Daniel up perfectly.
Daniel Jeremiah picked the Houston Texans to win this week.
Perfectly. It lines up perfectly for you this week.
I mean, it actually gives you a chance because the Chiefs have been ineffective. We know that they're not the best team in the AFC. A team with 3 losses is. And the second most dangerous team is probably Lamar Jackson's team. Mm-hmm. And they've got like 5 losses right now.
Ideally.
So 4 or 5. So.
Ideally. Right. Ideally, Pittsburgh loses out on the division. The Ravens move into the 3 seed. The Steelers move into the 5 seed. And you are the 4 seed. You play the Steelers and Chiefs. That's ideally is the best road to get to an AFC championship game. Am I right? Are them or the Broncos?
Yeah, I mean, anything involving the Broncos is probably better. But once you get past the first round, you got to, you're on the road. It's cold.
I guess it is. The Broncos have a great pass rush.
How about this, John? You and Dell will get you'll appreciate this. I talked to the strength coach from the Chargers yesterday, a guy named Ben Herbert, who had been at Michigan. This guy's probably the best strength coach, definitely in all of football, college or pro. He's unbelievable. Every Michigan player he has, they test out of Dell probably knows this. I don't know how much you keep up with Combine, Dell, but their testing numbers are off the charts. Everybody, short area quickness, explosiveness. This guy is a phenomenal strength coach. And I was talking to him yesterday about it. I was asking some questions about Mason Graham and some of the Michigan guys that are in the draft. And we were talking, and this guy's strength coaches are a different. They're built a little different, as you guys both know. Herbert, he comes from Wisconsin, right? So cold weather. He was at Michigan, cold weather. And I said, Herb, how's it going with you out in San Diego? Oh, let me tell you something. And I ship you not. But he didn't say ship. But he said this about seven. He said, ship you not about seven times. He said, I can see how if you ain't built right mentally, you can get real soft real quick living out here on the West Coast, which speaks to you, John. But he said it's like 70, it's 65 to 85 all the time. He said, mm-hmm. The weather's great. It rains about 12 days a year. Mm-hmm. You've got beaches all over the place, great looking girls. It's always sunny. He goes, you know what? Taking players who grow up in this stuff or who only live here and throwing them in a 26 degree day, he goes, let me tell you something. If you ain't built right, you will crumble. And that really hit home to me with like how many teams from the South in general, geographically, you know, it's always been the thing. You can't, like Miami can't play in cold weather. It makes sense though. When you think about how we act and respond, you say, what about when it gets into the 50s and everyone has coats and beanies on and their shawls on here in Houston with gloves when it's in its 50s. Can you imagine being a football player and it's in the 20s and you're not used to this weather at all? You're an indoor team. I can absolutely see where that would be a big problem going to Buffalo or Pittsburgh late in the year.
Yep. Absolutely. All right, we're going to break. 7:30 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Did you see where Quick Assist, Lance, mm-hmm. has been named the new title sponsor of the Bayou Bowl?
I did see that.
How about that?
And you know, we had the owners of Quick Assist. They live here in Houston. One of them, the dad, worked for the Braves for years and years in the front office, and the dad and the son, and then he owns a company called Energy Ogre that uses dynamic.
Well, wait a minute. Why don't I do champion? You fix that, reload, and we will get that fixed up. You're breaking up here. So I'm going to talk about Champion Energy right here. I've got the energy to talk about Champion Energy. I've been with Champion Energy for 17 years now. It's so good. I love Champion Energy. It's one of the first things that we did here when we got the station. We got Champion Energy because we found that it was the best. And that's 17 years ago, and we're still with Champion, and I'm still with Champion, and we love Champion. You will love Champion too. I'm telling you, my buddy moved over to Champion. He was like, well, these savings are real. He said, you ain't lying about Champion now. What I was paying and what I'm paying from month to month was ridiculously better. So I'm telling you, if you're looking for a great place to, if you're looking at your electricity bill going, man, what the hell is going on here? Go to champion.energy/1560. champion.energy/1560.
You're listening to Houston's longest running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Did y'all happen, Dell? I put it in there. The JJ. Did you happen to see
what yes.
JJ said yesterday on Pat McAfee's yes. show?
You're talking about the Jack Easterby.
Jack
stuff.
Easterby. Yeah. So
he actually tried to avoid most of it.
He did. He did, but he couldn't because the guys were giving him so much grief. And it gets pretty funny too, because if I'm not mistaken, we were the first ones to report the rift between him and Bill O'Brien and the
100% we were.
Yeah, right. I had got a tip from an assistant coach that was at the practice, and nobody would talk about it. But I think people knew what had happened, but nobody would say anything about it, and brought it up on the show one time. And now it's turned into JJ and Bill O'Brien were punching each other in the face. So that's kind of funny.
Yeah, that did not happen.
No, that didn't happen. But
McAfee
goes after it, and it's kind of funny. So they're in the AJ Hawk, JJ's in the middle, and McAfee is in to the left in the box, and they're talking, and they bring up prayer at Wisconsin before the games, and here's where it went.
JJ was with Easterbee, we forget.
Oh, yeah. Jack Easterbee was running that thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He was doing the redfish, bluefish, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which also might play another day.
That's what Jesus was doing. Maybe one fish, two fish.
Speaking of team meetings, got up and spoke in front of the team before a divisional playoff game the night before a game.
Who?
Easterbee?
Jack Easterbee?
Did they ask him to?
Who'd you lose to?
Nobody asked him to. What are you talking about?
You can just pop up.
Jack, listen. Not his fault. He was promoted from FCA guy to president, coach, general manager of an NFL team in 2 years.
No.
Not his fault. Obviously, he's going to take the opportunity. What was his message? Was it because we saw him speak? And he
Were you guys receptive? You guys were receptive?
I don't want to go too deep into that.
Is that what started you and Bill O'Brien's fist fight?
No.
No,
I didn't fist fight Bill O'Brien.
Wow.
Okay. Happy holidays. All right. We won't talk about that right now. The NFL holiday remix time. That's off-season conversation. What you do? You pick them up off the ground, his little feet for doing like this? Mm-hmm. And you're like, yeah, this could be your life right now if that's what you want.
Stop.
Is that right? I don't even remember how this started. I love that it's rolled, but I don't even remember how this all began.
It was our news.
You did it.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
You tell us.
I think there's footage somewhere, yeah.
No. We've gotten some good battles before, but nah.
No physical confrontations.
He's great.
Yeah. Nothing like the basement.
Billy O is a dog. He's not everybody that's ever played for him.
Yeah, he'd mix it up.
So, that got started. They did. They had a shouting match on the field, and that was.
Oh, Billy will definitely mix it up. So here's a story I may have told before. I'm sure a lot of people haven't heard it. This has been verified by multiple people, including Willie McGinnis, who heard it from somebody who was literally right there at the door. Billy was getting after Brock Osweiler about something. It was at Jacksonville. It was when Texans played Jacksonville. He was getting after him. He wanted him to stay. Osweiler, everyone had left at halftime, and Osweiler was and O'Brien was trying to talk to Brock Osweiler, and Osweiler tried to be dismissive and walk past him, and O'Brien grabbed him and like slammed him up against the wall with his pads, and Osweiler started, you know, going back at him a little bit, and there was a person guarding the door so no one could get in, and O'Brien, you know, kind of manhandled Osweiler a little bit, and he's like, O'Brien is really not to be trifled with. He's gotten into it with people on his staff before. Like, it's got really, really heated. I heard he got really heated with Larry Izzo one time, special teams coach.
Yeah.
Extremely heated. So he's, you know, he's a short – I think Bill O'Brien outside of football is actually you won't hear many bad stories. People with, you know, he had a kid who played Little League, and his, you know, people really got along. The other dads got along with Bill O'Brien. I've had some good conversations with him outside of mm-hmm. the football. But once he's in the building, total tyrant and very short-fused. And I think working for the Texans, he was probably the worst version of himself. I'm sure it got really nasty with J.J. Watt, who he thought did too much freestyling. It didn't play inside the structure of the defense. I'm sure O'Brien probably thought that J.J. did some selfish things as well, probably told J.J. that. So I'm sure it got a little nasty. But that Brock Osweiler story is 100%.
That wasn't the why, though. I think Bill O'Brien was screaming and carrying on at one of the practices, and and JJ
before the Steeler game, I thought.
And JJ had enough of him bullying.
Right, it was before the Steeler game.
Yeah, somebody was hurt, or somebody couldn't or whatever, and Bill O'Brien was getting on him, and JJ would have none of it. And I tell you this, he might have pinned Brock Osweiler against the wall. He wasn't putting hands on JJ.
No. He wouldn't have done that. I don't think Bill O'Brien backs down from anything, just so you know. But apparently Jack Easterbee had turned on Bill. They had already kind of, there was something going on in the in the background where they didn't trust each other anymore. And then I guess, you know, the story is JJ kind of reached out and to Jack and said, you know, and Jack goes, well, tell the owner. As a matter of fact, get all the players to tell the owner. Mm-hmm. And before you knew it, the next game, O'Brien was already gone. Right before it was it right after the Minnesota loss or before the Minnesota loss?
Well, but getting away from the lead here, Jack Easterby addressing a team before a playoff game.
Oh,
well, what yeah. what a disastrous organization it
How
was.
How did we we knew all this stuff was going on. Why were we so despondent on the radio at those times? Because we knew what an absolute joke this organization was at the time. How would you like it if you knew what a joke your organization was with somebody like Jack Easterby, who literally was a team chaplain with the Kansas City Chiefs and becomes a general manager because they knifed a guy like Brian Gain in the back, a guy who was a longtime mm-hmm. football guy who had built his way up, climbed the ladder the right way, and had an opportunity to be a GM, and he got knifed in the back so that you know, Jack Easterby could be the sycophant for Bill O'Brien. It was just the worst setup that I've lived through in the city of Houston. I've never seen anything worse, and I lived during the Jimmy Williams era. You yeah, did too.
The Jimmy.
I mean, there's Hugh Campbell with the Houston Oilers. Like, I can't think of a well, Steven Silas was really, really bad that era, but it wasn't as bad as having talent on a football team and literally having Jack Easterby have a hand in it. A slimy, slimy, two-faced guy with no respect in the locker room, who had no business making any decisions at all, negotiating contracts with Laramie Tunsil. Are you kidding me? Or who did he do? Was he Laramie or was he Deshaun? I can't remember which did which. But you're the one that told me that he bullied. He was the one that bullied the Texans when Chris Olsen tried yeah. to bring up his concerns about the contract. You know, trading for Laramie without a contract because Texans wouldn't have any leverage. What did Jack do?
Jack was, you know, screaming, "We can't be weak here. We gotta do this deal, and this will help the team. And don't worry about the future."
And then Laramie had all the leverage.
You gave up two first-rounders, and then Laramie's got his contract is expiring, and now he's like, "Meh." He won't even answer your calls. I mean, what a disaster.
One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish.
That's what McAfee was referencing when he was talking about, "Hey, Jack Easterby's doing this." Oh, my God. That was the organization. Well, I do have to thank Hannah for that. I do have to thank Hannah for bringing
for what some ruining some, a great time.
Right, one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? 7:44. What a joke! Oh my God, that makes me puke just thinking about that era. You just want to make the Steven Coutinho era.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
The Easterby era.
The Silas KPJ era.
Oh. Just the worst. And then the non-existent,
well,
non-existent era, three non-existent years for the Astros.
Oh, yeah, the Easterby era spans into Lovey and Cully, so that does carry a lot.
Yeah. And then the three lost years the Astros had where they lost 100 a year and with no TV deal.
We can't really – I can't put it on Bo.
No, it wasn't Bo's fault.
God, you call him Bo Cully. Now I can't even remember his real last name. Bo
Porter.
Porter. It's not that wasn't Bo Porter's fault, and I'm not even sure.
No.
Who was the GM? Was it still
Luno?
Was Ed Wade still the GM at the back? He was at the back end of that. It went directly from Ed Wade to Jeff Luno, right?
I forget. Well, as soon as Crane bought him, they just went into the tank and they said, "We're tanking for, and then we're going to be great."
And you know what? Hired
they had a plan, and it worked.
Yeah, Leno had to oversee some of the filthy years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that was on his watch. But you know what? It was a great plan, and it worked. All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776. Zadig is what you're talking about.
I'm talking about a company that has a designer trunk sale going on tomorrow. It's tomorrow and Saturday, and they've got some of the biggest designers in the country who are going to have their wares on display for you. If you're looking to do some last minute gifting, or if you're looking to find that special gift, this is going to be a huge opportunity for you, okay? From 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. tomorrow and on Saturday. Do not miss out. This is a chance for you to hit it big at Zadig Jewelers. They have the best selection, the best jewelry, the most impressive collection of jewelry. How could the most unique pieces, and how could they not with 28,000 square feet and two levels to shop at? So whether you're getting a diamond engagement ring, whether you're getting a kick-ass watch for yourself, they buy, sell, and trade luxury watches, or whether you're looking for that perfect piece right now, make sure that you head up by Zadig Jewelers. It's at 1801 Post Oak Boulevard, over four decades of greatness right there off of Post Oak. And now in their new location at 1801 Post Oak, it is Zadig Jewelers.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So we just did Pat McAfee with J.J. Watt. Aaron Rodgers and Ryan Clark are throwing some haymakers at each other. And It got to a point yesterday. Ryan Clark did a almost 5-minute piece just sitting there talking about this Aaron Rodgers situation. Now, how is McAfee involved in this, Del? Do you know? It just because it's done it on McAfee's
yes.
show, or is McAfee chiming in on Ryan Clark
well,
as well?
I'm sure he's guffawing and laughing, but I think it's mostly the platform, and Aaron Rodgers said what he said about Ryan Clark. And, of course, ESPN does a great job of making the story about things that happen on their network. So it's no longer about, hey, let's break down the game. We will break down what happened on our network when someone's talking about us. So it's just a cycle.
So Ryan Clark called Aaron Rodgers a hypocrite for talking about guys not what did Aaron Rodgers?
Well, it's so many things.
Yeah.
He doesn't like the fact that it's no longer what it used to be, where, you know, they would talk about the games. It's personalities talking about what people say and things like that. Of course, he is one of the people who takes advantage of being a personality and getting paid to do it. So he was being called a hypocrite. And, of course, Aaron Rodgers had things to say about Ryan Clark. And as you said, Ryan Clark, who will name check his own podcast in this, talks about Aaron Rodgers in multiple ways.
Right. Well, we'll break down some. I mean, Ryan Clark started throwing some pretty good ones yesterday at Aaron Rodgers. Here's a piece of it.
But let me be very, very clear. My job is to analyze you. You've decided to analyze me. And in analyzing you, what I know is your QBR is 21st. Also know that you're the quarterback of a 4-10 team who has to win the last three games of the season to even be equal to what last year's team was without you. Now, I get it. You get on the show and you talk about my brooch and you curse and all this tough talk. I just need you to know, don't none of that scare me. I'm going to do my job the way I'm supposed to do it. I feel no way about not being able to talk about what the film says because of what my career was. And if you continue to be arrogant or smug or hypocritical and it pertains to my job, I'm going to do it. And I want to remind you again, I'm Ryan Clark. 13 years, Emmy winner, host of an Emmy nominated podcast. And speaking of that jealousy and guest stuff, The Rock, Kevin Hart, Mike Tomlin, Devontae Adams, Joe Burrow, Shaq, just to name a few. No money, just relationships, conversations, and respect. It's what I tried to give you, and we'll keep it that way as long as you want it like that. Appreciate you.
He's right in a way. I mean, Aaron Rodgers beating people up on. I mean, I don't know. I don't. The players doing podcasts while they're playing is incredible to me, because all of that stuff that you're talking about in the locker room, you're talking about other players while you're playing against them, all of that was taboo. All of it. You left. I'm serious. The locker room was a sacred place, and the media invading it really affected the locker room They hated it. But now that the locker room is open up, that players are exposing everything, it's just, it's a different world.
I do think it's a product of them being told for years, you need to prepare for life after football.
Yeah.
And this is an easy way to become someone who's now a personality, even when your career is over. Like Steven Nelson had a podcast, and now I think he might be with the Chiefs. I'm not sure if he signed with the team this year. But it's all about, hey, I ain't going to be a football player forever. I got to find another way to be relevant. And if podcast is the easiest way, I got a name, give me a microphone, people will want to hear me. And maybe after I'm done playing, a major network will want me, or I'll just continue to be independent and make money that way.
Yeah. Well, but at the expense of your teammates and the team. Because, I mean, we've already seen it with Michael Parsons. We're seeing it with Aaron Rodgers. There is so many. Ryan Clark talks about Aaron Rodgers' arrogance in it, and how the locker room is, it views him. He views Aaron Rodgers. And oh, by the way, he's right in this, is that Aaron Rodgers gets paid to go there every week. Would Aaron Rodgers do it without the pay? I mean, Ryan Clark got people onto his podcast with no pay. No pay.
Well, he's out of football. I mean, Ryan Clark is out of football now. He is a legitimate media member.
And mm-hmm.
Some of the stuff that Aaron Rodgers said is, in general, had some validity. Mina Kimes admitted as much. She said, I think there are some people who are speaking on Aaron Rodgers, and look, everyone has a voice now. Everyone, you have to have some thick skin, but you also have to have thick skin as a player. But you know what? Some of the same people who poke the bear have to have thick skin when someone says, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, it's a two-way street, because there are plenty of people who really aren't qualified to be speaking on it. But because everyone has a platform now, then there's not really there's no real process of vetting who has the biggest voices anymore. That's over with. And that's fine. You know, it's kind of it's a democracy in that way. But at the same time, there's been a lowering of standards and a lowering of quality of conversation. And, obviously we know facts and information has been vastly distorted across the board. But Aaron Rodgers, I mean, look, Aaron Rodgers was a pain in the ass in Green Bay behind the scenes for people in the front office. He's been a pain in the ass for the front office with the Jets. That's who he is. That's part of his legacy. His other part of his legacy is one of the three most talented quarterbacks to ever play the game. But Ryan Clark, this is what Aaron Rodgers should have said. Ryan Clark, you're bought and paid for by David Mulligetta. If you really want to go there, the same thing that Deshaun Watson did. I found a clip. Deshaun Watson goes on one of his little things where he was, posting future lyrics to be very ominous about his future with the Texans and the way he was kind of sending these cryptic tweets. And I've got a video of him laughing and saying, this is hilarious. I love it. And where he's holding the Texans hostage before all the stuff went down, Baker Mayfield did something where he on social media and Ryan Clark had his furrowed brow. And like, this is when Baker was with Cleveland. You're a leader of a team. You don't do stuff like this on social media. You've got to show, I don't like this at all. You've got to show a lot more fortitude, and you've got to be the leader of the team, and you don't put things like this out in social media. They did the exact same things, but Deshaun Watson is a Mulligetta client. And you'll notice that he's back, that Mulligetta represents Ryan Clark. So, I mean, there's also a conflict of interest in media that is rarely talked about as well. And it's usually with these athletes who avoid criticizing certain people and go after other people. And sometimes it's related directly to agencies.
Yeah. No question. And speaking of, did you see the piece in The Athletic about the New York Jets and Woody Johnson?
Save it for next week.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. This is the perfect Woody Johnson story.
Oh, my God.
I had to double check. It's in The Athletic. It's not in Ballsack.
No.
It's not in The Onion. It's not in
Sports Not. It's
The Athletic with three different reporters on this article. This is incredible.
Yeah.
Don't tell him anything.
I don't even know what is worse.
You're dead. Texans era with Easterby or this Woody Johnson era with the Jets?
Way worse having an owner like this. I don't know. Time to talk about how about an owner like Jim Fiume over 40 years. 40 years selling windows here in the city of Houston and beyond. Jim Fiume, Pinnacle Award winner from the Better Business Bureau. That'll tell you something. No, go ahead. You want to put in a cheap window? That's fine. You know what? That's smart because the heat will come in. The air conditioning will escape. The bad guys are going to be able to get through easily. You're going to have noise on the street. That's great. Yeah. No. Put in a cheap window. That's what you want. Get out of here with that. You're going to replace windows or you're going to build a home. Make sure you do it with the best window that you can. This doesn't make any sense. Let's save a little bit of money here building this house, but then over 20 years, we're going to waste money on electricity because it's escaping. We're going to hear everything that's going on in the streets. We're not going to be secure. There's no privacy. I mean, honestly, if you're going to put windows in your home, get the best. And that's Gulf Coast Windows. When you see this showroom, you're going to be like, oh, my goodness. What? They're incomparable. So you're looking for the best window, period. Exclamation point. GulfCoastWindows.com, GulfCoastWindows.com.